Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 2% Better podcast. I am your host, Carrie Bennett, and I look forward to bringing you simple and impactful 2% health upgrades, small daily habits you can do to supercharge your health. We will be focusing on using sunlight, nutrition, sleep, cold, movement, fasting, and more to support your health journey. I hope this podcast inspires you with these science-backed micro habits so that every day you can become 2% better. The content of this show is for informational purposes only. It is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any illness or medical condition. Nothing is intended to be medical advice or to be used as advice for self-treatment. Please discuss any health-related or treatment-related decisions with your own personal medical authorities. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 2% Better Health Podcast. I am your host, Carrie Bennett, and today I am doing a solo episode, and I'm doing a solo episode about collagen. And no, I don't want to talk about collagen and gut health. I don't want to talk about collagen and my skin and wrinkles. I mean, those things can matter, but I am going to discuss the quantum aspects of collagen, how and why collagen is this connective tissue superhighway that funnels information in the form of electricity and other quantum particles, frankly, all throughout our body, and therefore why the health of our collagen matters at like that quantum level. So if you're interested in any of these things, stay with me here, and let's just get started. So I first want to address the fact that there is like we have a connective tissue network throughout our bodies. And I have talked about this on previous podcasts, but I don't know if I really connected the dots appropriately. So we are made up of this thing called connective tissue. And I hate the fact that this connective tissue happens to have like 10 different names depending on its location. So this just kind of goes to show you like the reductionist approach to how we view our bodies, like, you know, how the research views our bodies, how Western medicine views the body, because we literally have like a different name for every connective tissue in every part of the body. So around the heart, it's called the pericardium. Around the bone, it's called the periosteum. In between the cells, it's called the extracellular matrix. Around our muscles, we call it our myofascia, or like, you know, there's just plain large planes of connective tissue, like our IT band, we just call fascia. Inside of our cells, we call it our cytoskeleton. Inside of the nucleus of the cells, we call it our nuclear matrix. But these are all just the same thing. So, I mean, this is the beauty of human creation, right? This is a beautiful design because literally we have an organ, although it's not necessarily considered by most traditional, I think most doctors would call me crazy for calling this an organ, right? But our whole entire connective tissue network is an organ. And literally it interconnects everything. Every piece of DNA, every protein in every cell is all connected in this continuous network. And so this was put there for a reason. And originally, I think the majority of the research about like, okay, so why do we have this like fascial network? Like, why do we have all this surrounding every cell? Originally, it was thought that this was just creating something called a tensegrity structure. So basically, it was just helping our body to absorb force, transfer force, balance out our muscles, tell which muscles to fire based on which movements. And so, yes, it does actually serve as a support strategy, but it also does so much more than that. When we look at the body from a quantum perspective, which I'm always looking to do because I believe that that is foundational. When we're looking at the body from a quantum perspective, we have to recognize the fact that energy flow throughout the body is so important, and that energy flow throughout the body flows in the form of electrons, protons, photons, you know, light, phonons, sound and light, sonon, sound. So we have energy flow throughout the body at that subatomic level, that particle level. And so we oftentimes think of the body too much as being chemical in nature. It's like, oh, you know, like this chemical reaction occurs and this is the downstream ramification and this molecule turns into this, and here's the products, here's the reactants. Yes, we have body chemistry, we've got biochemistry, but the way our cells need to do reactions and the way that our body needs to adapt on a second by second basis, chemistry is too slow to be the driving communicator behind that. Chemical reactions are too slow. Plus, I don't believe that chemical reactions happen in the same way that we think, with like this lock and key mechanism, or protein and protein interactions with like, you know, receptor site binding. Yeah, that may occur, but I think that there's so much more communication that happens via subatomic particles and actually vibration, which I'm going to go into. And so if we have to have things that happen literally at the speed of light so that our body can make second by second adaptations to our environment, then chemistry is too slow. So what do we have instead? Well, we have this beautiful network of connective tissue that literally goes everywhere. And we now know that this connective tissue, it's been termed by the researcher who's really made this a prominent topic. His name is Dr. James Oshman. Really, he's got some really great talks that I've listened to, but I love his, if you're interested in looking him up, check out some of his water conference talks where he goes into this. You'll hear that I picked up a lot of information from him from those. But he has developed this concept called the living matrix. So literally what he considers our connective tissue is this living matrix that funnels energy everywhere. Why is it living? Well, it is also not only funneling energy in real time, but it's also remodeling itself in real time. So this cytoarchitecture, like this cytoskeleton, this web of connective tissue that goes everywhere and is bigger in certain areas and branches all the way into these tiny little fine tubes called microtubules of the cytoskeleton and the nuclear matrix. This web remodels itself. So it's constantly changing. Literally based on my body's position in space, my fascia will change. It'll branch off. It'll form new structures, or it'll lengthen itself. And so that's happening all the way down to the cellular level. And so it's this beautiful structure that literally has the capability to not only respond in real time to every movement that I'm doing, but it then also has the ability to ferry subatomic information or quantum information throughout my entire body at the speed of light, if not faster, because it's all connected. Now, what do we typically call this connective tissue? Well, you know, I guess in just typical speak, right? Non-geek speak, we call it collagen, because collagen is a protein that makes up the vast majority of this network we have here. And so collagen, I think, is a beautiful protein that nature or God specifically chose to be our quantum superhighway, to be this connective tissue web, this living matrix web that ferries this information everywhere. And so why do I say that? Well, collagen, it's a triple helix. And so for those of you who can picture maybe DNA, DNA is always shown as this double helix. So it's two strands that are like almost like a twisted staircase. And collagen, picture it as like almost like three twisted staircases. The cool thing about that twisted staircase of collagen is that collagen twists in such a way, and all collagen is surrounded by my absolute favorite thing to talk about, which is exclusion zone water. If you want to learn more about exclusion zone water, I talked to Dr. Jerry Pollack in a previous podcast. I also do a lot about exclusion zone water on Instagram, but exclusion zone water is this water structure that forms next to all biological surfaces. And it structures itself into this water lattice, if you will, that acts much like a liquid crystal. And we're going to go into a little bit more detail about that as well. But collagen has to twist. And as collagen twists and forms into its nice twisted staircase, you know, triple helix, it actually creates space and creates something called a water nanotube. So literally, we've got like this tube where water can flow, but not just any type of water. It's believed that that specific water nanotube can concentrate protons, so that protons that form, like you get this proton wire that forms in, with an exclusion zone water, or I'm sorry, I should say just outside of the exclusion zone, a proton wire forms. And this proton then can literally do something called superconduction. This proton wire can literally superconduct proton information instantaneously throughout this connective tissue web. It's kind of crazy to think about, but like this is an important communication pathway. And so let's talk about this collagen structure a little bit more. Okay. So collagen is typically made up of like, it's called a glycine XY. And so it's made up of typically three amino acids. It's like three amino acid repeats. And so it's always a glycine amino acid. And remember, amino acids are just little tiny building blocks that make up proteins, right? So that make up the collagen. So think of it like the bricks. And every third brick is a glycine. And then it can be something like a proline, a hydroxyproline. It has different other amino acids that it can be for the other two. And that can switch up throughout the whole collagen, you know, connective tissue building as it builds itself. But it's always glycine XY for a different amino acid. So glycine XY, glycine XY, glycine. So glycine is very important. And that's going to come into play here in a second. But also what we know is that this triple helix, as it twists and it forms itself, the water that goes right next to the collagen. So picture this collagen protein with exclusion zone water directly next to it. What we know from exclusion zone water is that it's negatively charged and it forms a hexagonal lattice. That's a different structure of water. It's called the fourth phase of water. It's got this. So you got the collagen, you've got the negative charge. And right outside of the negative charge, we now know is also a concentration of protons. So this is where we have this thing called a proton wire. And then this proton wire, subatomic particles are simply carriers of information. And it's the most important information for our bodies. Yes, we get information via our senses. So I get information from smell, which is actually, I think, quantum entanglement. We get information from sight, sound, touch. Like we do get information from through our senses, but we actually ferry so much information at this subatomic scale. And these proton wires are just one way in which we carry subatomic information throughout the body. If you want to really actually get kind of crazy about this, there's an interesting talk about the information contained in one proton that was done by a researcher named Nassim Haramein from the Resonance Science Institute, I believe it's, or it's just Resonance Science. But it's a fascinating TED talk if you look that up. And basically what he says is that in one proton is all the information in the universe. So if you kind of want to blow your mind, but that just goes to show you, he's a well-respected, I think he's a quantum physicist, but he's a very well-respected researcher. Maybe he's an astrophysicist, in his field. And if you think about, that's the importance of being able to carry protons where they need to go. There's some key information that's held in those protons. And so basically we've got this collagen web, right? This collagen connective tissue web that goes everywhere. It's got exclusion zone water. Exclusion zone water traps its own information that we're going to go into. But just outside of that exclusion zone water is that proton wire. And so that's a one way in which this connective tissue web can funnel subatomic information everywhere. Super important. To the extent that it's believed, some researchers are hypothesizing that that this proton wire that can flow anywhere exclusion zone water is made. And so within this connective tissue network, we got these proton wires flowing everywhere. It's hypothesized from in a paper by Maiwan Ho and David Knight that this is actually the basis for the meridian system in traditional Chinese medicine. So it's so fascinating, right? Like, so the flow of subatomic energy, that's qi. And if you're interested in that, I'm going to talk to Dr. Corey Gasvini in about a week or so on the podcast. And he has some really great information we're going to talk about when it comes to that sort of a thing. So I'm super excited to chat about that with him. But that being said, now you can see we've got this living connective tissue matrix. Proton flow is one thing that it does, super important. Then we also know that it's got exclusion zone water. So there's exclusion zone water throughout the entire connective tissue living matrix. This, I call it this quantum superhighway because literally it's funneling this quantum information everywhere. And so this exclusion zone water is a liquid crystal. What do I mean by that? Well, in physics, there are things that are known as liquid crystals. So they've got a structure a lot like a crystal, like picture a diamond, right? A structure. If you were to look at the atoms under a atomic microscope, right? If we were able to look at the atoms, then we would see a regular arrangement of them. And so this particular liquid crystal, in exclusion zone water, looks like a bunch of hexagons linked together. So almost like a honeycomb, if you will. And so liquid crystals have a regular ordered arrangement, as opposed to liquid water, which picture H2O, it's kind of this flux ever changing. These molecules are kind of just ebbing back and forth. Exclusion zone water has structure to it. And so liquid crystals have the ability in physics, right? Unsubstantiated information. This liquid crystals have the ability to interact with electromagnetic fields. Light, for example, we know can interact with liquid crystals. So liquid crystals can trap light. And so I believe, as do some other people, that exclusion zone water, one of its purposes is to trap light from our environment, called photons from our environment, but also biophotons that are produced within our own bodies, and then ferry that light information again along this connective tissue superhighway, this quantum superhighway. We do know that when light strikes the exclusion zone, especially ultraviolet light strikes the exclusion zone, it creates something called a coherent domain. And now I don't have to go into crazy detail about that, but this was the work of Emilio Del Giudice and Preparata, who showed that basically this exclusion zone, it's already excited water. And when it gets a little bit more excitation from sunlight, it collapses into this coherent domain and they literally call it a plasma of free electrons. So I think we can all picture what a plasma looks like. I almost picture it like a lava, actually, like lava coming down a volcano, but this plasma of free electrons. So again, electrons contain information from our environment. Photons contain information from our environment. So again, we now have another way that we're carrying subatomic information, subatomic particle information, all throughout the entire body system. And that is how my body then is able to adapt its cellular function in real time like that. Because in every cell, there are at least 100,000 tasks taking place every second, which means we can't rely on just chemistry. We have to rely on this subatomic information and this information flow. This information has to flow. And so I'm kind of trying to connect a little bit about my massage therapy background and how much I loved practicing something called acupressure, which was just holding an acupuncture point and until the tissue starts to soften. And you could oftentimes feel as you're going through an acupuncture meridian, you can oftentimes feel that there are stuck points in the tissue. So what could cause this information to get stuck, or what could cause this information not to flow? And what I was taught in massage therapy is that pain is simply energy not being able to flow through an area. And so that's that, or chi, right? We called it chi. Chi was not able to flow. And so that can manifest as pain in the body. Well, I mean, this is actually starting to make a lot of sense to me at a quantum level, right? And so if we can connect the two, there's some beautiful parallels here. So what I know is that as tissues get stiffer, so think about knots, right? Like stiff tissues. We know that tissue stiffness is synonymous with reduced, what is called in the literature, bound water. Gary Kirsch, is a researcher who's talking a lot about tissue stiffness and how tissue stiffness, we actually know, is a precursor to disease, because tissue stiffness starts to generate some inflammatory markers, one of them being something called TNF-alpha, a cytokine, right, which we know is synonymous with chronic inflammatory states. So people who have a chronic inflammatory condition like rheumatoid arthritis, like Crohn's or other IBD, have elevated TNF-alpha as just one of their cytokines. But we now know that predating the actual disease is this tissue stiffness that takes place. And this tissue stiffness is a result of a reduction in bound water, which is in my world, just another way of saying reduced easy water, reduced exclusion zone water. And so reduced exclusion zone water that all of a sudden creates tissue stiffness, and tissue stiffness then drives inflammation. Inflammation can lead to disease. So I think to myself, wait a second. So this exclusion zone water in areas really matters. It really makes a difference, because if we're, why would a disease manifest itself? Well, if we're not allowing flow of quantum information to take place in a given tissue, because we've reduced the water around the collagen. So we're maybe not creating exclusion zone water, or we're not creating as strong of a proton current flowing through that tissue. We lose subatomic particle, we lose particle information, we lose that quantum information in a given tissue. Loss of information equals chaos. Chaos can lead to disease. So that's just kind of the connection right there. So I find it interesting. So this, to me, this means that this is kind of like where all of my modalities that I've studied connect up. This is, I believe, where a lot of the therapeutic effect of massage comes into place. And it's because it holding points, you know, so like I'm going here because a lot of people, you know, in my massage practice, which I'm not a massage therapist, I don't practice anymore, but throughout my massage therapy practice, almost everyone was tight here, right? Up at the top. And what I know is that if you use the thumb, use acupressure to literally apply just a steady pressure into a knot, what starts to happen is that knot starts to soften, that knot softens. So why does that knot soften? What I'm thinking is it actually is starting to imbibe water. And when we imbibe water into that knot, we provide more exclusion zone water. We reduce tissue stiffness. We provide more bound water to that collagen. That water structures itself into exclusion zone water, which then can basically repair this quantum superhighway. And so what we do know now with that, how fascia responds, and this is the research from Dr. Carla Stecco in Italy. And what she has found was there's something called fasciocytes. Or so within our connective tissue matrix, we have these cells called fasciocytes that when pressure is applied to them, and it can just be like a compression pressure, or it could be a compression and a shear, like a pull. So for example, a compression shear would be me holding onto this knot with just like a single finger of pressure and then stretching the muscle as well. That's more of a shearing. So when we compress or when we compress and shear, it's a signal to the fasciocyte when it's done for long enough, it's a signal to the fasciocyte to release hyaluronic acid. That might be a word that's familiar to you or not, but when I have heard of hyaluronic acid in the past, it's because of skincare products, right? So like beauty products are full of hyaluronic acid because they plump wrinkles. So how do they plump wrinkles? Well, that hyaluronic acid pulls water into the wrinkle and basically just causes the wrinkle to look more hydrated, more plump, or less wrinkly, if you will. The skin doesn't look as wrinkly. But we can create our own hyaluronic acid in our tissues. And in fact, I think we need to. I think tissue stiffness and knots is a reason, is our blocks in our quantum superhighway, this communication superhighway. And in order for the energy to flow everywhere and to have like this coherent organism that's functioning quickly and adapting quickly at the cellular level, and the whole body is in communication with each other, we need to make sure we take care of these knots. And so we want to bring water into these tissues. And one way we do that is because if we hold on to that knot with compression, or holding on to that knot with a foam roller, or some other form of bodywork modality, the fasciocytes start to produce hyaluronic acid, and that hyaluronic acid imbibes water. It literally starts to soak water into the tissue, so that that water then can rehydrate the tissue, create that exclusion zone water, create the negative electron and photon flow, create the proton current, and information has been restored, or communication has been restored, right, in that particular area. I think that this like extracellular matrix, I think our matrix is so important, but it's just ignored because oftentimes we're in anatomy class, I was told like, oh, that's just the fascia, cut it away so you could see the more important structures, right? And some really fascinating research that kind of drives this home for me is comes out of Mina Bissell's lab. Don't quote me on where she is. She's at a very lovely institution in California. And her research shows that when there is a mammary tumor cell, so when there's tumor cells and they are put, so that would be an unhealthy cell. That would be the definition of an unhealthy cell, right? A tumor cell, a mammary tumor cell, a breast tumor cell. When that tumor cell is put into a healthy extracellular matrix, you can actually revert that tumor cell to a healthy cell. So again, communication is restored. And when communication is restored, the cell does not have to revert to chaos and inflammation, which is what a cancer cell does. And so just fascinating, fascinating. So by this point, my brain goes to, well, okay, like I got to get this communication, this quantum superhighway as healthy as possible. So what can I do? Like, how can I take good care of it? Because this is really, really important. So number one, I think step one for me would be making sure that I'm making as much exclusion zone water, right, throughout my body, because that exclusion zone, well, okay, step number one is going to be hydrated. Don't be dehydrated. We now know that dehydration is associated with an increase in so many things, from an increase in pain to an increase in the likelihood of getting concussions or memory impairment. Yeah, I mean, you name it, dehydration can cause issues. Fascinatingly, there was a doctor, and I'm going to, it's a long last name. He actually kind of goes by Dr. Batman. And he wrote a book that I wanted to say, it's called the Body's Many Cries for Water. But what happened was he ended up being a prisoner in Iran, and being in this prison, he came across a lot of other inmates who would go up to him and say, "Doc, you know, like I've got this stomach pain," or "Doc, I get headaches all the time," or "Doc, I've got, you know, shoulder pain," or you name it. And basically his only therapeutic modality he had to give them was to tell them, drink more water. And so he would have them almost overhydrate, right? Which you can drink too much water. You don't want to dilute your minerals, right? You need minerals. But what he showed was that the majority of these people appeared to be chronically dehydrated, even at a small, level where you wouldn't be seeing symptoms of dehydration, right? But all of these conditions he noted improved when they were told to drink more water. So step number one, don't be dehydrated, right? Drink enough water. And I guess I'm sure I'm going to get questions about that, which is fine. So let me talk a little bit about what I like to see with drinking water. I love water that's purified. If you really want this quantum communication superhighway healthy, you got to get the fluoride out of your water. You got to filter it. If you have tap water, you got to filter it, because almost all municipal tap water is full of toxins. So filter your water. I love different filtration companies. So there's a company called the Wellness Enterprise that I've loved a lot of their products. There's a company called AquaTrue that does a countertop filter, which is excellent. There's also a company called Berkey. They do Berkey filters. You have to add on the fluoride removal if that's something you're dealing with, the addition of fluoride in your municipal tap water. So you got to pull all the garbage out of the water. And then oftentimes you can also do it with reverse osmosis, distillation, but you have to then remineralize the water, because water from nature that comes from like a natural spring, a mineral spring, has minerals in it. And we need minerals. The minerals help us absorb the water and use the water in our biological systems. So purified water that's been remineralized is a beautiful thing. Deuterium depleted water is a whole nother topic, so I'm not going to go there today, but if you want to learn about that, you know, just let me know and I can do another one of these or interview someone who can chat with me about that. Okay. So, and then drink regularly, start your day off with some water. You know, if you pee at night too much, like you don't have to chug a big glass of water right before bed, but you want to sip water all day long. I think that's another thing, is that oftentimes we try to catch up on our water consumption. So it's like, oh, I haven't drank water in a few hours. I got to, you know, chug a couple of glasses. And the body does so much better when you just sip on water all day long. You assimilate it that much better. So drink enough water. Then the next thing would be, you got to get this water throughout your tissue. And so one of the simplest ways that we get that water basically from our stomach into our bloodstream, and then from our bloodstream into our tissues, is via movement. So movement will help to hydrate that connective tissue, our connective tissue web. So we got to move our fascia. We got to move our connective tissue. So being sedentary actually is dehydrating. So you want to move your body. So drink water, like picture the office environment, right? You're under crap lighting. You're surrounded by electromagnetic fields, both of which are dehydrating naturally to the body. And you're probably sedentary. You're sitting down all day and maybe you forgot to refill your water at the water cooler. And now you haven't had water in 4 hours. And so like, that's like ultimate dehydration. That's going to be a really, really like good quote unquote, but actually bad way. But that's an easy way to destroy this quantum communication superhighway. So then we got to move, right? We got to move. I am a huge, huge fan of a morning walk. I think for your circadian rhythm, it's amazing. You got to have naked eyes, right? No sunglasses, try to do no glasses, no contacts. So you have to do, I love a morning walk, but if you can't get a morning walk in, move throughout the day. I put this out there. Does this sound crazy? But I oftentimes ask people in your waking hours, are you moving more than you're sitting? Which is just weird for people to think about, because it's like, heck no, I'm not moving. I mean, you're talking about 16 hours that I'm awake. I'm not moving for 8 hours. We got to start moving way more. And so like, that means standing up to talk on the phone with your friend, or walking outside to listen to a podcast, or, you know, doing the dishes and having like a show. Like if you want to watch Netflix, you got your little screen in front of you while you're doing the dishes. Like we have to incorporate more movement to keep our whole connective tissue superhighway hydrated. Okay. So that's number one. Actually, no, that's number two, right? So you got to drink the water. You got to move the body. We also then want to expose our body to sources of infrared, because infrared is what has been found to build that exclusion zone water the most. So the body can kind of self-regulate its exclusion zone, the amount of exclusion zone it needs, but having too little is not healthy, right? So cancer cells have too little exclusion zone water. The tissues that become stiff have too little exclusion zone water. So we want to have enough exclusion zone water. And we know that exclusion zone grows when we expose our body to infrared, which makes sense. And it happens to be about the 3000 nanometer wavelength that expands it the most, but you'll see it's not just all or nothing, right? You don't just need that frequency. All forms of infrared light will help to expand that exclusion zone. So how can we get infrared light? Well, we can get it from a sauna. We can get it from the sun. I love this. And we can get it from exercise. So there's movement, right? If we start to generate our own heat, which our mitochondria can do for us, then we're going to build that exclusion zone. We can do it via cold thermogenesis, because getting cold, again, tells our mitochondria to make more heat for us and more water. They're going to make more exclusion zone water and heat for us. So we can do it that way. You can use some of those red light panels. So here's where a red light panel comes into play, right? So oftentimes these red light therapy devices have a blend of different lights, and typically they'll have lights in the red light frequency, but also they'll oftentimes have lights in the infrared frequency. And so when you turn the light on, like when you turn one of these panels on, you can sometimes like, you'll see nothing, even though infrared is coming, because infrared is not visible light. We will not perceive it as a color, but our body will soak it up. It penetrates the body so deeply. And I think that's why we selected that particular light frequency, because it does penetrate all the way throughout the body. And so we can be on those light panels in order to help to build that exclusion zone water as well. So we now know step one, drink it. Step two, move it. Step three, build it. Build that exclusion zone water. That's not only going to strengthen your exclusion zone, but it's also going to strengthen your proton wire, right? Because as your exclusion zone builds, so does that the buildup of protons. So you get this buildup of the exclusion zone, which remember will ferry electrons and photons, capture electrons and photons and move them throughout the quantum superhighway. And then you've got this proton wire as well. So very important right there. Okay, so we're going to drink it, we're going to move it, we're going to build it. Then we also need to repair it, because oftentimes throughout our lives, we've done things that destroys our collagen. So what destroys collagen, or what interferes with that, the collagen? Well, number one, scar tissue will. So anywhere you have a scar or a surgery, or you've had a surgery, you have the potential for a communication blockage, chi will not be flowing, right? There's always the potential for that. And so we can talk about different ways to treat our scars. And one of the ways that I've mentioned, I've actually noticed scar therapy improvement using both red light therapy panel. So that's great, but also sauna use. Did I mention sauna as infrared? I think I did, but yeah. Both of those are really good, not only then for building the exclusion zone water, but also helping with scars. Scar tissue, typical collagen fibrils will run longitudinally, like they'll arrange themselves very nicely in an more of an ordered, organized way. Scar tissue is kind of goes horizontal, crisscrossy. And so it will probably conduct information, right? But it won't do it as well because of how the scar tissue organizes itself. So it's almost like a little roadblock in your superhighway, you know, and you might have to divert information around it. And that will just take away communication. And so scar therapy, there are also a lot of in German bioregulatory medicine, you can find practitioners who will literally inject your scars with things like Novocaine, I believe, or lidocaine, procaine, I don't know, something that ends in cane, right? Because I can't do this. I can't inject anybody based on what I do for a living. But you can find therapists who will be able to do that, which breaks up the scar tissue and then allows the body to remodel itself, the connective tissue there to remodel itself in a healthier way, especially when you use other supportive therapies like red light with it. So take care of some scars, take care of knots. This is where a foam roller or a massage therapist could be your best friend. Although at the time it might feel like they're your worst enemy, because sitting on those sitting on tight connective tissue can feel painful. It can feel intense, maybe is what I should say. But what you're doing, remember, is you're bringing water into tissue stiffness. When you bring that water into tissue stiffness, you restore communication in that area. You take away the potential for that tissue to ultimately generate disease. So foam rolling, massage therapy can be really, really awesome ways to help to, again, repair your superhighway. The last thing that I think I would want to address with that would be removing toxins that can literally destroy the collagen. So let me remember what we talked about, right? You want to be able to drink enough water. You got to move your body to get that water where it needs to go. You got to build exclusion zone water. You got to repair, right? If there's scars or if there's knots, you got to repair and you got to remove toxins. So I did talk about fluoride. Fluoride actually will not necessarily directly, although it does. Fluoride, actually, I've seen several studies, not necessarily in humans. I think these were done in rats, but fluoride increases an enzyme that breaks down collagen. So you want to avoid fluoride because it breaks down collagen. You also want to avoid fluoride because it destroys exclusion zone water. Another thing that destroys exclusion zone water, or shrinks it at least, I should say, I shouldn't be so dramatic, it shrinks it, is EMFs, like Wi-Fi from computers. It can shrink it. 20 minutes of exposure has been shown to shrink it 20%. So not something beneficial if we're looking to hydrate an area using exclusion zone water. That is very much then dehydrating to that area, to our bodies. Okay. So besides fluoride, the other toxin that I think it's important to remove is glyphosate, also known as Roundup. And I still see, like, listen, I was on a walk today, walking by, you know, a park, a playground, near my house. Right. And who pulls up, but, you know, the city worker who comes and is literally got this tank of glyphosate Roundup on his back. And he's just spraying it indiscriminately against all the fence lines, you know, around all of the benches. I mean, this stuff can be everywhere. Please don't use it in your yard. Like, please at least not buy it and keep it in your yard, because you're going to get exposed to it in other ways. This is why we need to filter our water. This is why we have to eat certified organic as much as possible, because this stuff can be everywhere. Okay. So that's kind of depressing, right? I just said it's everywhere. So what do we do, right? Well, what does glyphosate do? Glyphosate, and I'd love to talk to Dr. Stephanie Seneff, because she's really the person who put this concept into my brain. And she's written an excellent book that I'm in the process of reading. I haven't finished it, but it's excellent so far. It's called Toxic Legacy. And it's all about the history of glyphosate and how it causes issues in the human body. But what she has highlighted is that glyphosate has the ability to replace glycine in our proteins. So anytime glyphosate, because the gly in glyphosate stands for glycine. So glyphosate to my body looks a lot like glycine. And so as my body is making proteins, as I'm making new collagen, I've exposed myself to glyphosate, I'm not going to have glycine XY repeated as I make my collagen protein. I'm going to have glyphosate XY. So why does this matter? Well, glyphosate does not allow the collagen to fold in the same way. So you're not going to get that same triple helix structure. You're not going to get the formation of exclusion zone water in the same way. So right there, then you've created a gap essentially in your communication highway. And picture that happening all over the body from regular exposure to glyphosate. And you can have like quantum chaos because the communication superhighway isn't firing. It's broken in lots of different places. So avoidance is something you want to do with that glyphosate. Also, what I have been playing around with is consumption or supplementation with glycine. So using higher doses of glycine, like 3 to 5 grams at bedtime, because glycine at bed also really helps to get a nice deep sleep. It's a calming amino acid. So that glycine then, when we give our body enough glycine, we can start to repair our collagen, especially if we're exposing our collagen to like red light devices and things like that, that automatically stimulate collagen repair. And so we can use that glycine to then say, okay, we're going to kick out the glyphosate because it's not working. We're going to start repairing collagen and making it the way it should be with glycine as opposed to glyphosate. So that's just something that I'm playing around with. Haven't done it long-term enough to say, yeah, this is for sure the best strategy in the world, but I just wanted to put it out there in case any of you are doing something similar. Okay. So I hope this makes sense. I hope that you kind of have a better appreciation for our connective tissue network and the fact that literally it touches everything and a couple of ways to take good care of it. It has to be hydrated. It has to be repaired. It has to be healthy because this is literally how we instantaneously communicate on the subatomic level, the quantum level throughout the whole entire system. And if that's broken, then you can imagine that there could be some major chaos happening. If information can't flow where it needs to go, that could be a precursor to disease. No problem, hands down. So, hey, as always, if ever you have any questions, you get a hold of me. The best way to get a hold of me is either to, get a hold of me on Instagram, Carrie B Wellness. If you're watching this on YouTube, go ahead and comment below if you have any questions. And if ever there's a topic you want me to go into more or something that you want me to discuss or someone you want me to interview, put it in the comments below and I have no problem seeing if I can address that in a future episode. So take care, everyone. Have a lovely day. Until next time, this has been 2% Better Health and I hope you picked up something today that will make your health 2% better. Bye.
I hope this podcast left you today with one thing that you can do to make your health 2% better. My name is Carrie Bennett. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoy this podcast, please like it and share it with anyone else you think would benefit from this information. Until next time, have a great day.